Welcome back, The Lighter Side. We're going to round out the round one prospects for the 2020 NHL draft, covering a few guys that are projected to go 16 through 31, as well as some guys that we think could move up in this draft. Tom, come on in. We know we love talking the draft.
Thanks, Joe. Sorry I didn't knock, but I feel sometimes I just got to enter the door and make myself at home, fix a sandwich. I'm ready to go.
So we covered 1 through 15 over the three previous shows, breaking it down 1 through 5, 6 through 10, 11 through 15. Any, before we finish out, talking about some of these prospects for round one, any final thoughts on the top half of the draft? Any guys on there you really like? Anyone that surprises you in that top 15?
Oh yeah, Joe. Like I said, you and I have mentioned this. We made the comment how it's pretty much a deep draft, and there's going to be players and good ones through the top three rounds. Let's face it, and if people do their homework, and we haven't even discussed the college free agents yet, but that are going to be signed to fill gaps and seams in their lineups and rosters. But my love sits with obviously Lafreniere is a no-brainer. We won't even bring him up, but if the Wings can't get him, and I really like McCaffrey. Oh, Drysdale. I always call him McCaffrey. I got the NFL on the brain with this kid's name. Drysdale, I'm big on him. I like Holtz and Stutzel. I think those guys could fit well in a winged wheel. And, I wouldn't mind seeing the kid, the defenseman, the American kid either, just a steady steady player in his own right. Seth Jarvis would not bother me either. If they're going to get the top one or two picks, I would like to see them get somebody that's going to be an impact right away. And, the three I mentioned off the get, Stutzel, Drysdale, or Lafreniere. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, I like, obviously, we said Lafreniere is a no-brainer. I really think that Stutzel is going to jump up to that number two spot. And
wow, okay.
I think depending on who the team is at number three, you're either going to see Byfield go or you're going to see Drysdale, the defenseman, come off the board.
Yeah, you like
number three spot. I like Byfield. I like it. I like him a lot. But yeah, I think just, as the more we talk each week and you look at just some of this talent that's on there, I think it's just going to come down to team needs. I think you got Ottawa, who I think right now they would have, if the draft just worked out the way it was supposed to, I think they'd have either the second and third overall picks or the third and fourth overall picks since they had that. They got that San Jose's pick from that Erik Karlsson trade. So, yeah, I mean, I could see them taking Byfield and Drysdale or Stutzel and Drysdale. They're going to come out really good in this draft.
It's a nice luxury to have too, Joe, because when you got the picks that early, and you even mentioned them taking Askarov possibly, which, a team that has two picks in the first round, which wouldn't be a bad idea either. But I like the fact that you have the two picks to go different styles in Byfield, a big body. Then you got Drysdale, who plays a lot like Rafalski and just a savvy defenseman, and a kid that can skate like that's going to break a lot of forecheck pressure. You don't feel you always want like a top five player to be a kid that's a can't miss. Mm-hmm. The only one I see like that is probably Lafreniere, but because you don't know like what you're getting with anybody else, Okay, right. So that's my take on the whole thing. You're still getting a great player in Drysdale and whoever, but you don't know, like, it's going to almost have to be a perfect fit for them. Whereas Lafreniere, I think he can complement any team he goes to. Whereas the other players that are in the draft, they have to be in a right situation. That's not a knock on them. It's just, that's the way I feel.
Right. What do you do if you're Ottawa's GM? You got so many options. Do you trade one of those two picks? Do you trade one to a team? I know we mentioned it. I think Minnesota, the Wild, have two picks. They're picking like 11 and then late in the first round. Do you take, you know, either Byfield, Drysdale, Stutzel, or maybe you get the first overall pick and you get Lafreniere? Do you trade that other one back to Minnesota if Minnesota's interested at 11 and you can get a forward defenseman, or the goalie Askarov might even still be on the board at 11?
Or Joe, even try and steal their first round pick next year too.
Mm-hmm.
You can do something like that. Knowing the following year's draft is important too, because you have those contingency picks. You have to do your homework, not just for this year. So it's a good point you bring up that makes me make this point, which I never would have thought of. But, you know, you hear these draft shows and people talk the discussions all the time on this topic, and nobody ever brings up, like, the following year's draft. Well, what kind of players do you have? They know all this stuff. With all the information they have, the central scouting bureaus and everything, it's so much different than when I played, where teams had scouting staffs and they literally had 16 scouts.
Right.
Now they cut that pretty much down to like maybe 7, because they have people already planted in with the computer. And that's how you pretty much know the book on all these players from a 3-year to 4-year window, even when they're 13 years of age.
Right.
It's kind of crazy, but that's the world we live in with the social media and everything. And these players are even allowed, they can put a value on themselves based on these projections and get insurance policies on themselves. Lord, if I had that with the injury I had and the screwed up surgery that I had, you know, I probably could have even did that. But that shows the times we're living in, totally different than what they were back then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's very, you know, with Ottawa, I basically try and maybe trade, still get 2 first round picks this year, but try and finagle a high or team's first round pick for next year, and possibly maybe a second round, at least get a second round for next year as well.
Yeah, they could take, if Minnesota's really got their eye on somebody, take both of their picks in the first round this year and land a pretty nice guy possibly that we're going to talk about today late in round one. So let's jump in, and we're going to do things a little different in this episode. We're not going to cover 16 through 20. We're just going to talk about a handful of the guys that are ranked in 16 through 31 and cover some of the guys that we think could make some moves in this draft. And the first one I'm going to talk about, and we mentioned it on the last show, that Jack Quinn would have a little bit of an advantage because of his age, going to be 19 in September. This guy is going to be 19 as well in September, and he's already got a year of college hockey under his belt at the University of Wisconsin. Dylan Holloway, 6-foot, left-handed shooting forward out of the University of Wisconsin. He's ranked anywhere on draft boards from 10 to 18. He put up 17 points in 35 games for Wisconsin. I think Holloway ranked on the Elite Prospect site at 18. I see this guy having potential to move up into the top 15, maybe just outside of that top 10. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Joe, I totally like Dylan Holloway. I'm going to just be flat out honest with you. This dude is probably, and it's kind of weird because we're looking at this draft and the first round picks, and you don't see too many like power forwards you know, you see a guy that could be a power forward, the one gentleman, what was his name? The seventh pick or whatever, projected pick, or you have that in front of you, Joe?
Yeah, let me go through. Who are you talking? You're not talking about Byfield?
No, there was another big kid that we thought maybe could slip down because his skating wasn't that good, and I should have. Should have my list here, and I don't.
You had Lundell was 9, yes. Cole Perfetti.
That's who I'm talking about. Okay. Lundell. This kid, better skater than Lundell, okay? I believe Dylan Holloway is the one true power forward that has a well-rounded game in this whole first round. And that could bode well for teams grabbing these type of players in the second and third rounds, because you know, like the NFL draft, I use references, Joe, once in a while with the NFL draft, because you see the trends and how the picks go. They shift depending on, like, if a team takes an offensive lineman, then all of a sudden you see like the next 5 out of the 7 picks become offensive linemen. You see where I'm going with that?
Right.
Well, with Dylan Holloway being one of the only true power forwards, I believe, in the first round, I think there's going to be a flux of those guys in the second and third round. And that'll be right up Iserman's alley, because the Wings lack good, true power forwards that have ability. They don't have to wait and expend a first round pick on a guy like that. So they can go after the sexy pick like a Lafreniere or Drysdale. With it show more flash, and they know they're going to be a bevy of power forwards that can give them grit in the colleges they can pull from, mm-hmm. and even in the second and third round. That's my take on it. This Dylan Holloway kid, he's physical. He's a solid skater. Mm-hmm. He plays on a team over in Wisconsin in the Big Ten with a lot of skill. I believe some of the national team development program guys are playing there too, like Caulfield. Mm-hmm. Who didn't make their teams last year. And what's the other kid's name from L.A.? Turcotte. I think he's over there, too. I could be wrong. But the problem with this kid is he tends to defer to players like this instead of just asserting his abilities. You know what I mean, Joe? It's like, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes he's almost taking a back seat.
Right.
And, and he has just as much right to showcasing his ability, and I think sometimes his personality doesn't allow that, and that's been the knock on him. I think if he can get that out of his head and just play more free and easy and just do the things that he's good at, I think you're going to start seeing that. I think then he could, in my opinion, go up to, you know, 8 position, but he suffered too because the season ended.
Right.
I think he was seeking to assert this, Joe, and people were telling him about this and the work on that part of his game, and you know, and then the season just kind of ended.
Right.
So he didn't get to showcase it the last quarter of the season as much as he would have liked to. For teams, it's almost like a draft preview for him, and it kind of got taken away from him.
Right.
But yeah, I see him going possibly up to 8 if he's willing to assert himself in that aspect.
Right. Yeah, that's one he might. If they don't do a combine and guys can't, or excuse me, the GMs can't watch him work out, yeah, that might be the one sticking point for him, like you said, where he's going to get stuck. At that closer to 18 mark, excuse me.
Yeah, I do see that. And all these guys that we're going to be talking about, they could easily move into solid into the first half of the first round before right. the 15th pick, or they could drop to, you know, in the 20s. It depends on what teams see in them, what organizations think they can get out of the player.
Right.
Because, you know, there's a swagger from management staffs to management staffs in this league, Joe, just like any professional league. And, you know, there's always guys that are going to organizations thinking they can do it better than the next team. That's why you see some of these weird picks. which maybe is why Iserman surprised a lot of people with more eats last year, Sider. And I could probably get something out of this kid that maybe most of the other teams can't. And he was excited about what he saw in his game.
Right.
You know, the only way that, you know, you see the shock around the NHL is for that reason alone is, you know, you get management staffs that have some swagger and they want to showcase it. And I can get the most out of this guy. It's almost, you know, like bragging rights, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's always crazy at the draft because there's the one guy that it's almost like you're assured that he's going to be in the top 15, and then you watch him slide down the draft board to late in the round, and especially now we're talking 16 through 31. Any one of these guys could move up because the team really likes him that much, or you could see them slide right out of the first round, five or six of these guys, just because the team late really likes the guys that are just outside all these prospect lists moving up, so... Yeah. Interesting stuff, and yeah, Dylan's gonna be. It's gonna be interesting to see. Again, he's one of those team needs players because, like you mentioned, he's a true power forward. And depending on team needs, there's a couple of guys on here that I see that he could easily jump over and break up, get up into that. Excuse me, close to the top 10, if not into the top 10.
Joe, who's the kid that played with Pittsburgh and then got traded to Tampa, out of Ferris State, the little short.
Drawing a blank.
Yeah, his mistakes. It's on the tip of my tongue, and I'm going to kick myself for not knowing it. But he played at Ferris State and played with Pittsburgh, and you know, won a cup with them, and. He's always a real physical player, too. Probably one of the hardest hitters in the league. I could see this kid playing like that. And I wish I could get the guy's name. I can't. It's not Gunsel, but Jeremy Kunitz. Or Kunitz.
Okay, Kunitz. Was he at Ferris State?
Yeah, he went to Ferris State. So, yeah, that's the player I'm talking about. This kid reminds me a lot of that. So, but anyway.
All right, the next guy out of the SHL in Sweden. I'm not even going to try to say the name of the team he plays for. Noel Gundler. He can play either the right or the left wing. Decent size at 6'2". He's another one of these guys. He shoots right. He's going to be 19 when the next season starts in 2020, so he's a little bit older. He's ranked anywhere from 10 to 19 on the draft boards. He put up 13 points in the SHL. He was bumped up from the Super Elite League after 4 games. So what did you find out about Gundler in your research?
Found some interesting tidbits on this guy. They have these draft boards, they sometimes have these little areas where they do these lists, and they kind of chronologically put it in comparison to other players from like a 10-year window. And this guy had better like point per game numbers than Daniel Sedin did. That's saying a lot, you know. I like his size, Joe. You mentioned 6'2", 174. This kid's obviously going to be a rangy 6'2", probably 210 by the time he gets established on a regimen in the NHL. He reminds me of Brooke Bowser, Boser, or Brett Connolly type, mm-hmm. even though Brett Connolly never became the player that they projected from him. But this kid, you know, I watch him play, and he gets shots off in all the hard areas. So, like, no matter where he's at or if a guy is right in his kitchen, he still seems to get shots on net. And that could bode well for him because with his size and everything, you know, he could end up – he reminds me of Holtz a lot. You know, in the draft, this draft. Only I think this kid will get more goals in his career because I think he just knows how to be a better scorer. Just as he knows how to get his shot off in different ways. That's one thing I noticed about him. The thing that I did notice watching film from him earlier in the year to where he was at now, like weeks before the season's shut down, he improved in every aspect. Like if his coaches wanted him to work on something that would enhance his draft positioning, he did it. And, you know, in all, he moves more efficiently. He's not the greatest skater, you know, for being I think he's a Swede, right?
Yes, yes.
So for being a Swede, you know, you think they all can skate and stuff, you know. But this kid, he's not the greatest skater in this draft. But I will say this, he moves better than some of the better skaters in this draft, meaning, and what I mean by that in hockey terms is, like, you'll see guys that don't skate as well, but they know how to move to areas in the course of a shift or a game that make them seem more relevant.
Right.
They're around the puck more. And that just tells you he's got a little bit of an intelligence to him. A lot like Bertuzzi, you know, for the Wings, the perfect example. Like, I think this kid's a little bit better skater than Bertuzzi, but just using that as an example, you know, Tyler is always around the puck, and he's probably one of the smarter guys on the team. He's going to stay in the league because of that aspect. Zetterberg was the same way. But this kid, he moves well, and you don't notice his skating deficiencies. If he gets that better, it's only going to enhance his game. And he can improve that, like we talked about in the past. I think he gets a bad rap, too, from a lot of hockey people that speak of him about being lazy defensively. But I just don't see it, Joe. I really don't see it in this kid's game. You know, he's got stuff to work on. He could be a guy that probably is going to what's he projected, Joe? Do you have that information right there?
He's 19 on the eliteprospects.com that we've been going off of, but he's ranked anywhere from 10 to 19.
I see that as being an accurate assessment, and he could even, depending on the team, or the players picked before him, he could even drop, I think, maybe in the 20s. But I mean, I think you're going to get a player that it's going to be a project. He's not going to be starting for you right away.
Right.
So that's where I have him.
We're going to go back to Sweden with this next one. This guy, he's a young guy. He's going to turn 18 here in a couple days. Helgi Grans. He's 21 on the Elite Prospects. He played in the Swedish Elite League for Malmo to finish up the season. He was in the top SHL for the first half, played 21 games, had 3 points. He put up a point a game in the Elite League. He's one of those interesting ones. He's ranked anywhere from 21 to 35. He's a big size at 6'3". The NHL Central Scouting has him as the number 6 European skater, which if we look through our elite list, he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he's the 6th, actually he's the 7th European on our elite list. So what do you think about Helgi? Is he going to stay in round one, or do you see him dropping to round two?
I think he'll stay, and the 6'3" is the whole reason why. But the problem with his 6'3" is he lacks physicality for a player of his size. So that could make him drop out. Once again, I guess it depends on, like, let's say, Joe, he goes to a team who's already got a physical presence on the blue line.
Right.
Like maybe 2 or 3 guys. I can see him staying in the first round, because you got to remember this guy, you mentioned he's 6th on the international list, correct?
Correct.
That was, he moved up from 21.
Mm-hmm.
That's saying a lot.
Right.
So this kid's got something in his game, and I think it's his offensive ability. He's solid offensively. He's a probably could average anywhere from 50 to 60 points once he gets groomed to play in the NHL consistently. He's a right-handed shot, which is valuable as a defenseman. He's got good reach, and he's just a solid player. His footwork is really what impressed me and makes him really deadly on the power play. So he gets a lot of his points being able to walk the blue line forward or backwards to gain shooting lanes for himself. Like I said, the only knock on him is he's not physical for a guy his size. So if you're looking for that bone-crunching guy, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be barking up the wrong tree. This guy is more or less – he's probably patterned his game like a lot of defensemen in Sweden do with Nick Lidström in mind. And Nick was special in the sense that he did it for a long period of time without being physical. But this kid, you know, if you're looking for a defenseman, like I said, and you have a solid physical defensive core already, but you need that guy that can move the puck and be a good outlet passer, which he is. This might be a good 6'3", 192-pound guy that can turn probably 6'3" to 215 real quick and be your guy that quarterbacks a power play and is your maybe third or second pairing a defenseman that can move the puck for you along with a stay-home guy. So for that reason, you know, I think he could see the, you know, anywhere from the 15th pick, you know, but like I said, depending on the team, if they want physicality on him and he's the only guy left as a defenseman, you'd probably see him range from 25 to 30.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yep. There's only two defensemen projected to go in the top 15, and then you get to 20 to 30, and there's about five of them in there, so, and I'm sure there's some guys projected maybe 32 to 40 that are defensemen. So yeah, it's dependent on need. I could see Granz, you know, staying where he's at or falling right off, right out of the round. But he does have that size going for him. So if there's
Joe, you speak of the two defensemen in top 15. That would be obviously Drysdale and Sanderson.
Correct. Yep.
And they have two distinctively different styles.
Mm-hmm.
So this kid, you know, probably mimics more of Drysdale in the sense, which is odd to say, but he's nowhere as near physical as Sanderson. So, I mean, that could help this kid.
Right.
You know, it's just weird. It's just you got two different type of defensemen in the top 15,
mm-hmm.
which is going to probably bode well that this kid is the third defenseman projected to go.
There's
also a kid from Germany, right? There's a kid, Reichel? There's a kid, Reichel, who's been in and out of the top 31. Lucas Reichel, I think he's got lineage in the NHL, too. I think his uncle or dad played Reichel. That could be a different Reichel. But this kid's a tall, lanky guy, too, that can skate. I think he's a little more physical than Gross.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's where I put him.
Okay.
Too bad he didn't have a little abrasiveness to his, you know, his game. I think that would vault him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got Lucas Reichel. He's actually, they got him listed as a forward out of the DEL. Is Robert Reichel's his uncle.
Okay.
Yeah, they have him listed as a forward. He's slated anywhere from 20 to 51.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I saw that, and I'm like a 6'1", 170-pound. Isn't he, or is it, what's his
man,
build?
He's 6 foot, 172. He'll be 18 on the 17th of this month, so he's a young kid.
He might be a guy you take a flyer on, man. Eiserman might take a flyer on that guy, second round, because we got like three picks in the second round.
Yeah, real.
So, you know, I look for that name for in the Detroit lineup because or in their organization. Look for them to draft in the second round. That's my prediction. But who's the next guy, Joe?
The next guy is a centerman that I like his size. He's out of the Western Hockey League. I love me some Western Canadians. Connor Zary of the Kamloops Blazers. He had 86 points in 57 games this season. He's one of those guys we've talked about before. He's 18 now, but he's an old 18. He's going to be 19 when the season starts. And I think that age, that little extra experience, and mixed with a solid, you know, 6 foot, he's about 180 pounds. I think he could make some moves from 24 up into the teens when the draft happens.
Yeah, I believe so, Joe. Was 6 foot, 181, like you said. I've watched him. Does everything solid. He reminds me of Nick Bonino a little bit, kind of a lunch pail type of guy. He's got above average hands, stick handling. Does everything solid, but nothing fantastic. His skating is average. It's a little labored. Meaning, you know, you look at players and some look effortless when they skate.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he seems a little labored when he's skating. If he can smooth that out a little bit, you know, I think things would be a little better for him. Consistency is a problem for him, which means like he's got to focus more on and be attentive to detail. He misses a lot of passes, especially when he was on the power play, you know, passes that he should corral and get shots off, which allows penalty killing sets to, you know, reestablish themselves. I've noticed a lot of little things like that in his game. If he can get with the right organization, that will polish that stuff up. Because you got to remember, Joel, some of these teams, like NHL teams, their coaching staffs, you know, they don't take the time to go and polish detail.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Wings do a good job of that. Okay. Through their minor league system, there's a good communication where they try to keep things pretty much the same as far as development. And you find more of the NHL teams try and do that now.
Right.
But you get teams that don't do that and they don't pay attention to detail. And that's why you see players bump off and get traded or moved. And these players thrive in other organizations. That's the reason why, because you don't have somebody smart enough to be able to figure out that this kid only needs this or this in his game, to be buffed out. And then all of a sudden you have a solid 10-year NHL veteran who's dependable.
Right.
Well, this could be that, and he's just got to get with the right team. Because like you, I like his size. I like the fact that he's around the play all the time. But, yeah, I just see Nick Bonino in him. You know, maybe get 20 goals, not kill you on the defensive side. But he could be better than that, you know. And I think with a little bit of polishing, you could get a 25 goals a year guy and maybe a second line forward. Mm-hmm. On the wing for somebody.
Right. Well, the next guy, our fifth guy we're going to talk about, I know you got some more that you want to get into after. This kid, Justin Barron, Halifax Mooseheads. He's a right-handed shooting defenseman. He's at 6'2". He's, like we've talked about, he's going to be 19, so he's an older 18-year-old. He's ranked number 70. That's a third-round pick, 70, by the Elite Prospects. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would not be surprised if this guy's name was called as early as 20 when the draft happens.
No, I agree with you, Joe. And I saw film of this kid. in 2019, because he played with the World Juniors, and he wasn't even in his draft year. Mm-hmm. And you saw the raw ability with him. I think he and then they showed some footage of him the same year with the Halifax in the queue, where he played with the Wings first round, Zadina and McIsaac and all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And his game is similar to McIsaac's. If you look at him, it's matured a lot. The following year, this year, I'm seeing footage of him, and he's got more presence now. He's in 2019, I believe he worked on his defensive aspect of his game coming out of midgets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which he did a very good job of. But the next year is probably his scout or his agent probably discussed with him, let's polish up the offensive aspects of your game. And this kid just added that element to his game like clockwork. And now all of a sudden you're seeing that huge jump, as you talked, where he was projected 70, which is a third round pick. And I believe you're right, Joe. I think this kid's going to go. He's got size. He's physical. He has some offensive acumen to his game. He's got very intelligent vision. He works well with his partner, can outlet the puck, can take the puck from behind the net, break forecheck pressure, get separation, lead a rush. Well, there isn't anything you really can do.
Mm-hmm.
So as a GM, I'm licking my chops a little bit. He might be somebody. What if he falls to second round, Joe?
I was just going to say, if the Wings get that first pick or second pick and they get their forward, they're going to have the 32nd pick, which is the first pick in round two. And if Barron is not off the board, I would be jumping out of my seat if I heard Yzerman call his name.
It would be a two because the same thing, and ironically, that would be the same scenario that happened to his former junior teammate, McIsaac.
Right. Yep.
I think he was the first pick in the second round.
Yep.
As part of that Tatar deal.
Yep.
So I think those two would be awesome. Get rid of DeKaiser. Stock's going down. His play has gone down the last few years, and he's getting hurt too much. You know, let him play the first 25 games. Hopefully he does well, and then push him for some more draft picks for next year. Move him to some team that might need some depth help. And is in a cup run and do him a favor there and say, thanks for your service, Danny, but, you know, and make room for Barron and McIsaac. I'm not sure, the kid, Chalowski is going to pan out. I've been hearing some bad things about him. But you got Hronek there and, a couple other defensemen and, you know, just scratch it, man. Start fresh and see what we got. But you get some nice size 6'2", 6'3", defenseman out of Halifax as part of your top six.
Yep.
I'm all good with that.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching once it gets to 20. I'm going to be listening for Barron's name. And as it keeps going and going, if it gets to round two and then Detroit doesn't take him, I just think whatever team finally grabs him is they're getting a steal on this one. I think a lot of teams know about him. It's just going to be who's the first team, when's a team going to jump up and grab him.
Yeah, you're right, Joe, and that's going to be one of the interesting things, highlights of the draft coming up. And let's go over real quick before I throw a few dark horses at you to end this thing. Let's go over like some of the other highlights you're looking forward to in this draft.
For me, I think we've talked about most of them. Barron's the one that I'm really watching. I'm interested to see what happens with Dylan Holloway. I feel like he's one of those guys that I think can just pop up into the top 10. And I think he's got I think that's going to be interesting there. And then, you know, Jack Quinn, who we mentioned in the last show, I think he's in a spot where he could move up, but I could see him falling down. And I really, the other one that I'm going to be watching for is Askarov, the goalie. Is a team like Ottawa that has two early first-round picks, are they going to use one of those and take a goalie? Are they going to trade down and take a goalie? Is he going to stay at 10? Is he going to fall back because he's a goalie and there's just this plethora of offense that's in the middle of this first round and teams are just going to want to load up on offense and he falls, you know, back to, you know, 15 to 20.
Yeah, Joe, well, you pretty much hit two of my highlights with the last two you mentioned with Quinn and Askarov. I'm going to be interested to see where this kid Seth Jarvis goes. Jake Sanderson is going to interest me as well. And obviously, the kid I love the most in the draft is Drysdale out of Erie. I'd like to see where he pans out. And then just because he's one of your favorite players and because I'm a little scared to take him based on the big kid we just took recently from the O.
Yep. Rasmussen.
Yeah. I just think he – Byfield and him kind of have similar games. Even though Byfield might be slightly better with straight head speed as far as a skater, I just see similarities there that would, you know, you don't necessarily know if Byfield's a physical player. If he was, I'd feel differently maybe. But the size, I'm not enamored with it because of that. So I would opt to take Drysdale and if we couldn't get Lafreniere. So those are the things I'm going to be looking for in the draft. But let's change gears a little bit to end this thing. There's a couple other players that I want to throw at you. They're out of the U.S. One's out of the U.S. program, a kid named Ty Smolanik. His stock is rising a little bit. He's had some good second half of the U.S. team development program. He's done some good things. He's an interesting prospect to me. His skating's improved. He's one that might jump up into at least either a late first round or early second round scenario. And then there's a kid that's a homegrown boy. He played with Caesars. Honeybake, I believe, for a spell. His name's Antonio Strange. It's an 18-year-old. He's got a lot of upside to him. They're just raw tools, but he's over with London Knights, a great organization that produces plenty of NHL players, especially in the last 10 years. I believe the coaching staff is getting through to this kid, but he's so inconsistent. He should be a first-round pick. His puck handling's off the charts. They say there's probably they're saying right now that he could probably be rated if he was on an NHL roster, he'd be rated as one of the top puck handling players in the NHL.
Hmm.
And this kid, yeah, it's crazy. Okay, he's quick, but he's not fast. If you know what I mean by that, it's kind of like Yzerman. Mm-hmm. He's kind of built that in his career. He had that quick, you know, type thing, but he's not fast, but he has great agility with like his east to west movement, which makes him a hard target when he's with the puck. It makes him difficult to defend. Problem is with him is his willingness to compete on the defensive side of the puck. He gets benched a lot. It's kept him out of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
My question is how will he respond to this? He doesn't, through the junior years, he's played with this program he's always been surrounded by players that have gone in the first round and stuff, but he's usually, he would get benched and then respond, but it would be short lived. So the key would be to get to an NHL team that can get through to this kid. He could be a coup in the second or third round as a sleeper. Lots of his offense, though, is tried from the perimeter, too. He tried to work on this aspect, getting to the middle and hard areas, but he fell way short of his overall goal of getting better in that particular area. He's a 10-2 skater, Joe, in his style, which, you know, is allows him to change directions on a dime. Mm-hmm. I always say he's so good at it, like he gives 9 cents change back to the defenders that try to check him. Once again, it's like he's high maintenance, though. He needs to be constantly motivated, and I think it's a maturity issue. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Would he be worth the risk for a team that has maybe multiple picks, or a team that has already a very young or talent stable of, you know, players in your organization already? You know, he might be something that you might want to take a flyer on. And then the kid, last that I'll mention is Lucas Reichel, who we already spoke of, who could be an interesting pick for any team, because he's played with the men in the Germany leagues already, and, you know, overseas and other leagues as well. So that's a guy that it could be somebody to look for on the draft boards too.
Yeah, Reichel's ranked 51 by Elite Scouting. He's number 11 ranked of the European skaters by Central Scouting. So right. It'll be interesting to see where Lucas goes. You mentioned the local guy, Antonio Stranges. He actually isn't even rated by Elite Prospects. Exactly. The two prospecting groups that ranked him, they ranked him 25 and 26, and then oddly, the NHL Central Scouting has him ranked at 56 of North American skaters. So throw in some Europeans, and you're talking about a third round pick.
Yeah, he's an enigma, bro. Yeah. He's an enigma, and it just goes to show you, attitude means a lot when it comes to you know, giving yourself a reputation, good or bad. You know, it does carry over. And even when I coached youth hockey, Joe, I always used to tell my players, you know, it's like you got to carry yourself well too, because how you play the game, you give yourself a reputation, whether it's with the officials or eventually with scouts watching you. It's a lasting effect, and it's something to really get hard to get out of when you're stereotyped by a certain group, especially people that are evaluating talent. And, you know, this kid has skill, but the attitude's way behind, and it's keeping him possibly, he might end up becoming a free agent, you know, and having to walk on a program, which might be a better option for him, depending on, you know, where he's taken. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's playing with London. That's got to tell you something.
Right. You mentioned the first guy you mentioned, Ty Smolanik. He's ranked 33 by Elite Prospects, so that's that second pick in round two. He's ranked way out to 50 by Future Considerations. What'd you like about Smolanik? It looks like just a Central Scouting, NHL Central Scouting's got him at 24 in North American, so it's probably right in line with an early top five second round pick for the left-handed forward.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, like I said, it's one of these, could be one of these depth guys that a team like Detroit needs. And I'm not just talking for Detroit, at any team that might be light on the wing position. He seems like a kid that might be able to adapt to the right side as well, which, to me, it's weird, because when I played, I mean, they played me at right wing. I even played defense on the power play. I played left wing. When I went up to the parent club with the Canadians, they had me at center. And it was never a big deal to me, because I did all those things in youth hockey in high school, because we had so much depth. And I was able to do those things just, and did them willingly to enhance my game. So whenever I coach youth players, and, you know, parents always come up to me and say, well, why are you playing my boy here or there, or my girl here or there? And I say, it's not a demotion or anything. It's to enhance their game and their diversity. And when you explain to people that, it shows different in, you know, because they never thought of that. So it's like these players that have the ability to do that, they obviously grew up in systems that expressed this and showed that, and it boded well for them that they accepted the decision by the coaches to do that for them. They were doing them a favor, really. So, this kid can do that. It'll enhance his draft spot, maybe 5 to 10 spots, which is Joe, it's the difference in contract money too.
Right. Right. Yeah. So we'll see. I was looking as we're talking, checking out the first round again. I think was it Marco Rossi's at 3. He's got the most points of anyone in this draft. But I have this feeling that he's going to fall out of the top 5.
I think he will because of his size.
We saw it with Cole Caulfield last year, the most goals of anyone, and he fell. Even though he's moving up draft boards, he fell down. And I think Rossi, just looking at these names, I think Drysdale, Stutzel, Holt, maybe even Perfetti are all going to go before him. I could see him going back at maybe it's 7.
Stutzel will go before him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at big bodies too, and I think the NHL goes. They're in this thing now with these Torrey Krug type defensemen. If you noticed, you're starting to see more of those. So that's why I think Drysdale's stock went up a lot, because just the way he plays, and I think he can really help a team and in all aspects as far as power play and breaking forecheck pressure, which seems to be huge in the NHL now with the chip and chase league. You know what I mean, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
It's not puck possession teams. It's why if you can ever get a coach that has the balls enough to implement a style like that, I think Pittsburgh is probably the closest thing to the old Detroit teams, and they're even fading away from it now because all these young players they're taught in college and juniors now to, chip, chase, and go chase and pounce on mistakes and then, execute when you get the scoring opportunity. You're kind of dumbing it down that way, and that's why you see the NHL, and people get mad when I say this, but as great as the sport is, you're not seeing so many different varieties of games anymore. It seems like a lot of the games, and it's happened in all sports, it's like there's so much prominence put on parity. But I think it's really hindered the game's character and variety as far as watching ability. Seems like you turn one game on from the next and it seems like a rerun. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong but I just see the game differently, and the things I'm looking at are not always just with scoring and by what the puck's doing. It's away from the puck, and I'm just seeing all those nuances are being taken away by rules and just the way players are brought up today. Everybody can skate, so it's like you don't have the need to fight or just the different elements that character players brought into the game. So I hope it's like Redmond made comments, and I got what he meant when he used to say the game's getting too fast. You know what I mean, Joe?
Right.
Players aren't able to, you're not really able to see their true creativity because it's almost too fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing to say, but I got it when he said it. It's like, I totally get it.
Right.
So I'm getting a little deep right now. I hope people understand it. Sometimes I do that when I discuss hockey, but it's like, I hope these players, hope we can get it back to where the game gets, more good versus evil rivalry matchups, and games become a little different. And it's really not about goal scoring. It's about flow in a game. And these higher ups need to figure that out when it comes to rules, and coaches need to figure it out. And, hopefully they can teach kids how to, play in traffic as well, because I think we're losing that aspect as well. It's becoming more of a finesse game, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I like the element of having a little bit of everything. So I'll leave it with that.
Nice. Yeah, no, very good. Well, we'll have to concludes our prospects series. We'll have to, once we know the draft order, we're going to have to put our drafts together and do a mock draft and hold a show and go through the first 31 players and see what we can come up with.
Sounds good to me, Joe. It was a pleasure talking to you about this topic, and got some more good stuff coming up with future shows, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we'll close it out. Everyone have a good one, and we'll see you back here next time on The Lighter Side.